So the breath is always with us, of course it is. That's part of the reason why it's useful to have mindfulness of breathing, because it's potentially always available. But that's not the only reason. It doesn't work for everybody, but for some people, the rhythm of the breath is changing. In-breaths, out-breaths, transitions. And that's enough. The changing nature is a little bit helpful to keep the mind connected to the experience of breathing. So that can be one way as a support to stay with the breath, is to be noticing how the beginning, the middle, the end of the in-breath or the out-breath, or what it feels like to transition from one to the other. Another way in which the breath can be a support is the rhythm. Reminds me when I was young, my friend and I, sometimes we would walk home from school the long way, you know, like just an extra block or two, so that we could walk past this park and sit on the swings. And just the kind of, you know, the rhythm of being on the swings was something that we just love to do. I still love to do. In the same way that, you know, sometimes rocking chairs, and with babies, often we're doing this kind of a lullaby or a rocking motion. So there might be a way in which we can tune into the rhythm of breathing and have that be a support. Of course, so much more than breathing is happening. But for this meditation period, and I would like to say for the rest of the meditation periods today, we can have the sensations of breathing be a priority. And let the other experiences not be urgent. Unless, of course, they really are. There's some medical or bodily thing that requires some urgent care. But can we just allow the experience of breathing to take center stage? And maybe I'll share that I discovered the beginning of my meditation practice. I so much wanted to be doing it correctly that I was like holding on so tightly to each breath and not noticing like how much tension and how kind of closed down I was. Thinking that this had that way of approaching other things in my life got me some particular outcomes. Surely it must be the same way to do meditation practice. But it turns out with meditation, we really work with this balance of ease and yet applying ourselves. Some purposeful effort without straining. Being present for what is without struggling with what is. And this is part of the art of practice, is finding our way with this balance. And it's not like we just find it one time and like, okay, I got it. I got this whole meditation thing down. It's something that we're always feeling into, maybe tweaking a little bit, and maybe not. Sometimes we can get so busy with tweaking that turns into our meditation. So allow yourself to feel into the manner in which you're being mindful of the breath, as well as mindful of breathing. during that meditation, I spoke a little bit about allowing also any experience of okayness to be there. I offer this because sometimes we tend to dismiss or neglect any simple experience of, yeah, it's okay enough. Searching for the perfect experience, or maybe because we're busy trying to fix some other experience. So I don't want this to feel like some oppressive feeling like, oh, now I have to feel okay. Because the truth is sometimes we don't. But if it is there, can you allow that to be a support for your practice? Any sense of, yeah, right now, this moment is okay. This moment, I can be here for this moment. I don't know about the next moment, but this moment, I can. Also to allow a little bit of curiosity to be a support. Those of you who have been meditating for a long time, you know that I'm continually amazed, like how the breath can be interesting and it can inform us about how we're feeling. Oh, I didn't realize that I was as upset as I was because the breath seems to be fast. Or, oh, I guess I'm a little bit more settled than I realized. This breath feels a little bit smoother and slower. We don't have to make it be anyway. We're just noticing. With a certain amount of permission and allowing it to be how it is. And then maybe I'll take this opportunity to talk a little bit about walking meditation. Of course, so much of what I just said about mindfulness of breathing is appropriate in the way we approach walking meditation. But with walking meditation, where we put our attention can really vary. Unlike on the sensations of breathing, there's a number of different places. So there's a classically, often in this tradition, we talk about moving slowly and just feeling, like might be the feeling of one foot lifting up and placing down and feeling the pressure of that foot. While this next foot is moving and feeling the pressure of the next foot and the next foot. So tuning into the experience of the ground being on the bottom of our feet. But sometimes that pace, the pace that allows for mindfulness of all those doesn't feel quite right for where we are in our practice. And I'll say for myself that walking meditation, I just really love it. And part of it is because, of course, it allows the body to move a little bit. But it also is a great support that if we're feeling a little bit low energy during sitting meditation, there might be a way in which we can walk with a little bit more energy, a little bit more vigor. So that it supports some energy to arise. Of course, the opposite is true too. If we're feeling really less restless, maybe we do want to walk fast just to express the restless, or maybe we want to walk slow just as a way to use to calm the body down, that so it can support the rest of the whole system. So feel into what pace feels comfortable for you at that time. So often we'll choose a walking path, maybe 15, 20 feet. We just walk, stop, feel often at the stopping, kind of feeling into that moment. Check in, was I present for that last section or not? Turn around and come back. Stop, turn around and come back. It turns out there's something a little bit freeing about this idea that you're not going to get anywhere in particular. So it's you're not like going somewhere, and there isn't this part of the mind that's, am I there yet? Should I turn left here? Should, you know, we're just very simply giving ourselves over to the experience of walking. But I'd like to also offer that walking meditation just does not occur solely outside when you've got to your walking path. It begins when you get up from your sitting posture and you go to the bathroom, maybe perhaps walking meditation, just being aware of the experience of walking as you get there. So it's in all of our activities while we're on retreat, but during the walking periods, we often do this back and forth intentionally. I'll also say that at IRC, sometimes for me, my back likes it if I walk a little faster and I have a varied terrain. So sometimes I'll do the circumference of IRC here, being mindful of the experience of walking. Sometimes it's the feeling of the clothing moving against the body. Sometimes it's just the experience of moving through space. Maybe it's a combination. Maybe I'll just say to support us as a community, if you are going to walk around the perimeter, for those of you who have been doing a little bit of the Majjhima Nikaya class with me and Gil, you know that it's very common in the suttas for somebody to, after speaking with the Buddha, they get up and they keep the Buddha to their right as they leave. This is like a little detail that gets put in the suttas. So that's why circumambulation is usually done clockwise. So that's what's in the middle is always to your right. So we'll do the same here. We'll go clockwise around. If that's what you choose to do, many people are just doing back and forth. Maybe I'll say also with walking meditation, with all meditation, it's helpful to just do one thing at a time. So if you're walking and something really catches your eye, there's a little bird that's doing something, for example, it could be helpful to just stop and then do looking meditation or watching meditation. And then when that is finished or you're no longer interested in that, and then come back and do walking meditation. Maybe lastly, I'll say that with your hands, you can do whatever is comfortable. Some people will have them, like if you have pockets, put them in your pockets. Some people are, whatever is comfortable. There doesn't have to be any particular way. So just a reminder, at 11 o'clock, there'll be posture instructions. And also a reminder, Last night I talked about the opening circle, how this fires, if fires happen to, if there's a fire alarm to go out the closest exit. Well, this building was designed that the doors close with a loud click. These are fire doors to keep everybody safe. But one consequence of that is it's really loud. All these doors click. Maybe some of you have heard this or been woken up in the night with somebody opening or closing their door. So this is a fantastic practice. Door opening and closing, mindfulness of door closing, turning the handle, allowing the door to close, and then releasing the handle. We're practicing in community here, and this is part of the way we can support each other, is to just bring awareness to how we are with doors. Oh, yes. So there's a few of you who have a yogi job at 11 a.m. If you'd like to attend the posture instructions, it's not mandatory. It's for anybody who would just like to. If you already feel comfortable in your posture, there's no need to come. In fact, you might like the quiet instead. But if you do plan to come and you have a yogi job at that time, can you please leave a note and let us know that you'll be coming to the posture instructions and not your yogi job? And we'll work with that. Just as I mentioned earlier, right, this is a choreography, everybody doing a job. And so we'll want to just help make that work. Okay. So I wish you all a lovely day of practice. Thank you.
And for those of us online, I have a couple more announcements. One is that tonight I'll be leading an optional drop-in practice discussion group, and all of you are welcome to that. If you're new to practice, that's an opportunity to ask questions and to share a little bit about what's going on for you today. So please feel welcome to come. And then a few words about retreat etiquette, which is helpful to create a supportive container for all of us online. It's helpful to practice as if you were in the meditation hall. So please arrive early to online sittings and practice discussions and stay until the end. And it is supportive, if you can, to leave your camera on, especially during practice discussions and groups. And some people are more comfortable during meditations sitting further from the camera. That's fine. Or you can turn your body. You don't have to be looking right into the camera during meditations. So feel free to do that. And of course, if there are some of you that have physical issues such that you just can't have the camera on, I understand. So do what works for you. If you have your camera on, please be mindful of your movement during sittings, the same way you would in the physical meditation hall. Not moving around, not eating or drinking, and not leaving the hall unless it's necessary. Also being aware of not putting your hand over the camera, adjusting your computer. It's a little disturbing looking. And not moving the device that you're on, because that can be very dizzying for other people. If you're relaxing, maybe not having the soles of your feet showing into the camera. So just by practicing in these ways, you minimize distractions for the rest who are online. So wishing you a beneficial day of practice. Thank you.